Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, April 14th, Pope Francis appeals for stopping any action that could worsen the spiral of violence in the Middle East. The Holy Father renews his prayers for children around the world suffering from war, and he calls on faithful to transmit the beauty of their faith and of their encounter with Christ. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Turning to our top story, at the conclusion of Sunday's Regina Caeli, Pope Francis made a heartfelt appeal for a halt to the spiral of violence in the Middle East and for all nations to favor negotiation and peace efforts while assisting those who are suffering. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Seguo nella preghiera e con preoccupazione.
Pope Francis made a heartfelt appeal on Sunday following the Regina Caeli when he called for a stop to any actions that may fuel the spiral of violence in the Middle East that risks plunging the region into an even wider war. The Pope said he's following with prayer and concern and even sorrow over news arriving in recent hours about the worsening situation in Israel following the intervention by Iran. He emphasized that nobody should threaten the existence of others and that, instead, all nations should take the side of peace, helping Israelis and Palestinians to live in two states, side by side, in security. He added, it's their deep and legitimate desire, and it's their right, two neighboring states.
Si giunga presto a un cessate il fuoco.
The Pope then renewed his appeal for a ceasefire in Gaza and that the path of negotiation be pursued with determination, recalling the suffering of the population in Gaza plunged into a humanitarian catastrophe. He said he called for every effort to alleviate their suffering, and he prayed that the hostages kidnapped months ago be freed immediately.
Quanta sofferenza. Preghiamo per la pace.
The Pope emphasized, so much suffering. Let us pray for peace and that there be no more war, no more attacks, and no more violence. Instead, yes to dialogue and yes to peace.
Sì al dialogo e sì alla pace.
An Israeli military spokesman said on Sunday that the launches numbered more than 300 from Iran, but 99% of them were intercepted. The war in Israel and Palestine goes back to October 7th when 1,200 Israelis were killed and 250 others were kidnapped following a cross-border attack by Hamas. The Israeli retaliation in Gaza has caused widespread devastation and killed, according to local officials in Gaza, over 33,000 people.
Preghiamo, fratelli e sorelle, per I bambini.
Also on Sunday, the Pope renewed his prayers for children around the world who are suffering due to the many wars in our world, mentioning in particular Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Myanmar. He called on everyone to pray for them and for peace in our world.
Invito tutti ad accompagnare con la preghiera il cammino.
And in speaking about the burden children bear due to war, the Pope also recalled that from the 25th to the 26th of May, the Church will mark the first World Children's Day, and he greeted the children present in St. Peter's Square and those watching around the world, and he thanked them for their efforts to promote this day and assured them of his prayerful accompaniment as they journey toward the event with their preparation underway. He said he is awaiting them and encouraged them to share their joy and desire for a better world, a world at peace. The World Children's Day event, scheduled for May 25 and 26, involves tens of thousands who've already made reservations. More than 80 countries will be represented for the two-day event taking place at the Olympic Stadium in Rome and St. Peter's Square. Listening to the Pope's message today were around 100 children, many from war-torn countries, and they were accompanied by Father Enzo Fortunato, coordinator of the event, together with people assisting him and the community of St. Egidio. The organizers thank Pope Francis for his words and are confident this event will be one of the most significant ones in promoting children's rights. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Staying with this developing news story in between Israel and Iran, the Israeli military says 99% of those drones and missiles fired at it from Iran overnight were intercepted without hitting their target, as we heard in the report of Thaddeus Jones. But let's hear more in the report of Nathan Morley about this developing story.
In the middle of the night, the citizens of Jerusalem were woken up by this sound. The action was Iran's first ever direct attack on Israel, involving more than 300 aerial drones and missiles. The United States said some of the missiles were launched from Yemen, Iraq, and Syria, where Iran has a military presence. Israel, for its part, said there were a small number of hits on its territory, including at a military base in the south of the country, whilst a youngster was injured and is undergoing surgery. Iran said the assault was a response to what it called various Israeli crimes, including a deadly attack on its consulate in Syria. It later said the attack achieved all of its objectives and cautioned Israel against responding in kind. Peter Lerner is an Israeli military spokesman.
I think it's an unprecedented reality of air war in modern history, actually. I think the way that an international coalition of partners joined together in order to save Israeli lives was an important message to Iran. And the amount of the cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, explosive drones that made their way from Iran, from Iraq, from Yemen towards Israel posed a substantial threat, but we stood up to that. And together we basically destroyed almost all of those capabilities en route.
It now transpires that several other countries were involved in helping Israel defend itself against the Iranian attack. The United States played a significant role in helping to stop some of the drones, as did French aircraft and British jets from the Royal Air Force base in Cyprus. Jordan also intercepted objects that entered its airspace. The involvement of so many countries underlines the huge risks of an escalation in this evolving crisis. Aaron David Miller, a former State Department advisor, says that the United States is now in a difficult position.
In the United States, with all the tensions and anger and frustrations that the Biden administration has with the prime minister, there was no way out of the Israeli-Palestinian confrontation in Gaza. The U.S. was in a strategic cul-de-sac. And now I think you've got a bigger problem, which is the prospects of a major regional confrontation, which could result in spiking oil prices, plunging financial markets, and something the Middle East has never experienced before. And the U.S., unlike Gaza or Ukraine, the U.S. could actually, on this one, get drawn into the fight.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is arranging a meeting of G7 leaders to coordinate their response to events. Earlier, the U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the attack and urged all parties to exercise maximum restraint. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
As we heard earlier, the Pope, after his Regina Caeli, appealed for peace and dialogue, and he remembered in a special way the wars, including the war in Ukraine. For the latest in Ukraine and staying with that war, let's listen to this report of Stefan Boss.
Russia has, in recent days, attacked crucial infrastructure, including destroying a significant power plant near the capital Kiev. The destroyed Tripliya power plant was the largest electricity provider for three regions, including Kiev. Authorities warn that more civilians and troops die in part due to delays in U.S. military aid. Mariam Sablotsky, a member of parliament, says Ukraine is running out of crucial military hardware.
It is vulnerable unless you have anti-air missiles, and unfortunately we are desperately running out of them. So the Russian military technologies are not that far from Iran or North Korea. U.S. Patriot missiles do shoot them down very effectively. But unfortunately, as maybe Israel very soon, we are also under attack from Iranian drones. So almost 3,000 Iranian drones were also fired at Ukraine energy grid since the beginning of only 2024.
Russian President Putin has defended the strike, saying Moscow had been obliged to respond to the strikes on Ukrainian energy sites following Kiev's attacks on Russian targets. There are mounting concerns that Ukraine may face more losses on the battlefield and even lose the war without more Western military support. Germany, Europe's leading economy, agreed Saturday to send a Patriot air defense system to Ukraine, but Berlin hasn't relented on its refusal to provide Kiev with Taurus cruise missiles. I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, Buongiorno, buona domenica.
As mentioned earlier, this third Sunday of Easter, the Holy Father had recited the Regina Caeli prayer with the faithful in a sunny St. Peter's Square. He had given a comforting reminder. He had said how beautiful it is to encounter the Lord. And when we have done so, we must transmit that joy and that experience to others. In his address, the Holy Father had reflected on the day's gospel reading, according to St. Luke, which took place the evening of Passover. The passage narrates when the apostles are gathered in the upper room, and in particular, when two disciples return from Emmaus and tell of their encounter with Jesus.
E mentre esprimono la gioia della loro esperienza, il risorto appare a tutta la comunità.
The Holy Father went on to reflect on how this moment transformed their lives, and how likewise, encountering Jesus changes everything for all faithful. The Pope highlighted that despite how life-changing our encounter with the Lord is, and how it is the most beautiful thing we have to tell, he said, we still often struggle to talk about it.
Ciascuno di noi potrebbe dire tanto a proposito.
Each one of us, he observed, could say so much about this. Not by being a lecturer to others, he said, clarifying, but rather by sharing the unique moments in which we perceived the Lord alive and close, who kindled joy in our hearts or dried our tears, and who transmitted confidence and consolation, strength and enthusiasm or forgiveness, tenderness or peace. The Holy Father stressed how important it is to share this in the family, in the community, and among friends. He observed how well it will do us all to retrace our steps to the thoughts and feelings that arose when we placed ourselves in the presence of God, and also about our efforts and labors to understand and to progress along the way of faith. If we do this, Pope Francis said, Jesus, just as he did with his disciples on the evening of Passover, will surprise us and make our encounters and our environments even more beautiful. Everyone has had an encounter with the Lord, the Holy Father recognized, asking for everyone to think back to it.
Proviamo, allora, a ricordare adesso un momento forte della nostra vita, un incontro decisivo di Gesù.
Let us take a moment of silence and think, he invited. When did I find the Lord? When did the Lord become close to me? When we experienced this encounter with the Lord, he went on to ask, did we share it and give glory to the Lord? Similarly, he asked faithful to question whether they listen to others when they tell us of their encounters with Christ. Pope Francis concluded by turning to the Blessed Mother to help us share the faith in order to make our communities become ever greater places of encounter with the Lord.
La Madonna ci aiuti a condividere la fede per rendere le nostre comunità sempre di più luoghi di incontro col Signore.
That takes us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va and also our social platforms on X, Facebook, our YouTube channel, and Instagram. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in the studio, and stay with us throughout the days to come, including for the Holy Father's general audience this coming Wednesday, which you could follow on our YouTube channel. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Have a good Sunday.